Can you hear? Not yet? One? Two. How do you turn it on? Yes.
Okay. You switch to the left, to your left.
Oh, okay.
Now the mute's off.
Okay. Mute is off.
Yep.
All right. One thing about watching this is it kind of gets the... it's very dramatic in watching the history of education as well as the predictions. And so, since it's been 65 years since Edgar Cayce was alive, a lot of his predictions, a lot of Notre Dame's predictions have still been thought to be set in rock. And so I think what I'd like to offer right now is to, if anyone has any questions about the predictions that have been made, we could go into, for example, his prediction about the earth changes happening in 1998 didn't necessarily come true the way it was predicted. So, if there are any questions about why something like that would change, why something like that would happen this way, and what's happening instead, we could go into that. Now, I'm going to start this off by asking if we can get more lights. Can we turn all the lights up? Are all the lights turned on over there? How come we don't have lights? Oh. Okay, there we are. Thank you, Wee. Before we go into, I'm gonna start with in 3 weeks after 9/11 hit, a friend of mine called me and wanted to know what was all of this 9/11 event about. And so I took 3 days and wrote up for her everything about that I could see about the attack on the World Trade Center, what this was about. And a lot came. But one of the things that came at that time was, and it was very clear, it is very exact, that this was Edgar Cayce's fulfillment of his New York prediction. The attack on the World Trade Center was his New York prediction. However, it had transformed a little bit. And a lot of people have a little bit of difficulty in understanding how and why, and really what's going on. I mean, how could a World Trade Center attack be Edgar Cayce's prediction? And what happens with predictions is really based on the timeline that is happening currently. Let's see. I think some of his predictions were around 19, I'll say the 30s. Let's see. And some of his predictions were, at his time, there was a certain timeline that was in place. This particular timeline was steady, and And so it progressed normally. So in 1945, World War II happened. And by the way, Edgar Cayce also said the Book of Daniels, the predictions in the Book of Daniels, was pointing to World War II, in case anybody didn't know that. And I, at one time, I had gotten the same information. In reading the Book of Daniels, the information I got at that time also was that this was World War II. And that was independent of reading what Edgar Cayce had, or rather, Edgar Cayce's readings had said. We many times say, Edgar Cayce said this, but actually it's the readings say this. And so, one of the things of the big picture for humankind was, because these were events that were set to happen, the powers that be, so to speak, God, the force, the Christ force, always merciful, always seeking to help, is going to send as much information as possible, or some way for people to know that we can do something to change this. And so, throughout the time between the reading and this period, time period around 1998 is when he talked about the earth changes, there was a tremendous amount of work. If we go back even into the Bible, there are books where prophets will go out and tell what God told them. And many times the people won't pay any attention to them, and what was foreseen comes to be. But the Bible also has books where the prophets went out and told what God told them to tell the people. The people changed and did something about it, and it didn't come to be. And of course, a few times the prophets got upset and said, why did you tell me to do this if this wasn't going to happen? And of course, God's answer was, you tell them. You don't worry about whether it happens or not. And basically what happens in that process is, let's see, I wish I had a bigger board. All right. In the process of bringing forth Spirit, whether it's through ARE or through Tibetan monks, in the process of raising the vibration of the planet, no matter which group it is or who it is, it affects the timeline. And basically it starts as the level of help or spiritual work happens, it influences which timeline we're going to be on. And we see from the 30s and 40s, 50s and 60s, that there was a steady increase in spiritual matters, meditation, ARE, TM, many of the gurus in the Middle East and in India, and many, many different avenues of spiritual involvement, raising the vibrations of the planet, and all this was occurring. And so, in this instance, here we are. What we have this area right here is really I'm drawing a picture. This is going to symbolize the amount of karmic energy that is set to manifest to create the event that is predicted. That's what this triangle represents. That's the amount of energy that's going to create an event. So if, as Edgar Cayce said, if all things stay the same, if it had continued along this route, this amount of energy would have manifested. And it would have caused an earthquake underneath New York that would have devastated New York. A physical earthquake. But because we made changes, this amount of the energy was healed and dissolved. This still happened. And instead of the whole city, it was one block. And because the karmic energy had not yet completely been healed, it still needed a way to manifest. And because, here's where free will comes into effect. There were some who were willing to allow that energy, that destructive energy, to manifest through them. And we know them to be the 19 hijackers of Osama bin Laden who participated in financing it. And some of that. They were willing to allow this destruction to come through them. Had no one been willing, it would have pushed itself into the physical realm and it would have happened as a physical, natural event, like an earthquake, typhoon, whatever. A little bit of metaphysics there. So, and this is two buildings fell. Had we had twice as many people during this time, one building would have fallen. Had we had five times as many people throughout this time period to change the timeline, neither of the buildings would have fallen. That's basically the math. And so, what's going on, what we have, that's basically the New York event. And hence why we can take a look at this 9/11 event and recognize it as Edgar Cayce's prediction coming true. That's the first prediction I saw coming true. His second one I haven't mentioned yet. I'll mention that too. Now looking back here, this timeline has had a change on here. Help it, 58 to 98. We also have a prediction based on the wobbling of the poles, changes in Earth that are set to start in 1958 and end in 1998 with the tilting of the axis. That was one of the predictions as well. Well. Here we are in this timeline, and we didn't really have that strong a presence or change going on by the time 1958 was here. So, in looking at that prediction, that actually came to be. 1958 is when, if you go back and look at the scientific measurements, you'll see the wobbling of the Earth's axis started in 1958. Now, the changes here, though, again, because there is higher consciousness existing in wanting human life to do the best they can and not seeking to punish anybody, but rather offer all assistance possible that would be welcome. This energy that would have brought about this event was changed. Instead of it being a single event, it was changed into, transformed, I guess, would be a better word, transformed into multiple events. Everybody knows what it looks like to see a brand new roll of carpet. It's rolled up. It's a big roll. If you were walking along, that roll would probably stand along. And if you walked on that carpet, you'd fall over that carpet. It hit you in the knees. You wouldn't be able to walk on that carpet. You'd fall down. But if that carpet is laid down, you'll be able to walk on that carpet without any problems at all. So in effect, what this manifestation came by kind of being rolled out. This roll just got rolled out, where the energy is spread out over a long period of time. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, it's not necessarily fluffy carpet energy, but it works as an analogy. Now, what this means, though, is that while the tilt of the... Well, let me back up a little bit. In seeing this, how it's transformed into a different type of manifestation, I also saw at that time, and this was the image that I saw and the interpretation of the information that I was putting, I saw the earth upright on crutches. It wasn't strong, but it was on crutches. And so I saw that that was telling me that the earth is being held up so it won't wobble or won't tilt. So, any questions? So, yeah, we're good.
I just wanted to kind of understand that what you're saying about, you know, 1998 it would have been a sudden thing.
Right.
But it wasn't a sudden thing because so many people had risen in consciousness.
Exactly. That process, that higher energy, when it's blended with that destructive karmic energy, it transforms that in the same way that a strong tuning fork can balance an out-of-tune tuning fork. It's two separate vibrations coming together, and the stronger, perfect vibration will transform the lower problem-filled vibration. Exactly. You can apply that to everything. Always it's going to be, we cannot heal a situation with the same vibrations or the same level of consciousness that we created it. Yes?
The
87 convergence was part of that. There were a number of different things where millions of people helped to bring about the change in timeline. Now, you know, obviously, we're going along a timeline. We're not going to necessarily be aware that we just shifted the timeline. So this is not necessarily going to be an available, immediately noticeable piece of information. So, hence why you got a bunch of psychics out here saying, oh, we just shifted timelines here, by the way. So, anyway. Yes, you had another question, Vicki.
Oprah, you know, what all has Oprah done to Oprah, our mind and all areas.
research in near-death experiences?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The internet.
The internet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, no, I haven't heard of that.
They've had a program on that. It's called Miracles, Angels, and Afterlife. Ran a movie spin on there. And it's just, it talks about angels. It talks about, it just belongs in our group. What they're talking about is some of the other stuff. It's a little bit more fundamentalist, but it's the Angel 2 channel. And I think it's 266 or something like that on Dish.
Now, is that the Miracle Channel? Because I know there's also one called the Miracle Channel.
This is called Angel 2.
Okay.
Angel 2. There's an Angel Channel, and then there's an Angel 2 Channel.
Okay.
And it's the 2.
Okay. Angel 2 Channel. Yes?
You're so in the pretty music of Mississippi with Flo and the Mississippi with Lion and Divide the Continent.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when it was predicted that a lot of prayer is going on. And I even knew people who relocated away from Mississippi. and that shifted, or do you still see that?
It's slowed down considerably. I still see it happening, but not in our necessarily in our generation. The reason I see it slowed down is because it's being manifested in different ways. For example, we know that the Mississippi Valley, the states along the Mississippi, have been flooded during the rain seasons many times over. And so it's still created the propensity for it, still created the openness for it to happen, but it looks like it could be anywhere from 20 to 40 years yet before something like that happens. And it's quite possible that it will happen man-made in order to have a channel from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi. So at this point, it could actually come about man-made.
Yes. What do you see for the Gulf Coast?
Okay. Before we get into that, there's a question over here first. So hold on to your question, though.
I wonder what that timeline looks like. You care about everything that's
okay. I can give you the whole answer, but it would be all at once. the paradigm of everything happening at once. Well, it and everything happening in the here and now.
I think it was just turning to a vertical line and just vertical here and now.
All of these timelines, all of them, have all of them can happen. All of them in different dimensions, in some other realm. All of them can happen. All of them have potential. And we're in one dimension here, like three dimensional world, but we're in one of the dimensions. But all of these timelines can easily have their own dimensions. Each aspect of soul that is in every dimension has free will. And so every dimension that the earth itself exists, and all these other dimensions, every soul on that earth has the free will to choose. And so we chose this timeline. Others in other dimensions or other aspects of the soul may choose any of these.
Just like Stargate.
Yeah, just like Stargate. I don't know if that answers the question, but
All the possibilities are there. And all of the possibilities are able to be examined by anyone. Because all of this information exists in what we call the Akashic Records, all of the timelines are available there to be examined and learned from. So, I know that's a big thought, but let's come back down into this planet for a moment and look at this. Yes.
Corresponding to his current life. Very similar to what you were just describing.
Right, corresponding to his current life. Yes. Yes. Now, whether or not that's in this dimension or not, that wasn't examined. It could be. I mean, it's, if you ever want to try a little experiment, go into meditation and see if you can reach out to yourself in other dimensions. I have. And it's quite possible that they'll be sitting in meditation reaching out to you. Because there will be others very much like us, and there will be some that are not interested in reaching out to you at all. So, anyway. But don't bother yourself with trying to understand how and why that is possible right now. Experience it, learning about it will come later. It's interesting. But it's about right here. It's as explainable as infinity. Okay. Any other questions real quick? Okay. The second, let's see. Yeah, this was the second prediction of Edgar Cayce that I saw was coming true. And how it had manifested had transformed. And I saw that very clearly, that this was Edgar Cayce's prediction about the Earth tilting on its side. And this is how it was changed and transformed. So that was Edgar Cayce's second prediction that I saw coming true. And so, at that time, and here we are in, let's see, 2005. I think it was 2005 that I did a reading for my study group at that time as well. Oh. Okay, I'm writing myself a note to remember to comment on that. In 2005, let's see, where was I? I got so... come back to the room. And I think Peggy was there when we did this reading, because I was at Peggy's house, so of course Peggy was there. The... Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus both talked about, Nostradamus did anyway, about the popes, or there was a prediction about the popes. My prediction of the popes was that, and I worked on this for a little while because I really was interested, being, you know, having a Catholic background and talking to my dad about it, who was a devoutly Catholic. And so I started studying the popal lineage. And I found that a pope is considered an official pope if they're elected by the Congress of Cardinals. But a pope who is appointed is not considered a pope. He's considered an anti-pope. And throughout history, there have been popes that have been appointed in order to kind of oust the pope who was elected. And at times, there were two popes. One was recognized, but out of office. The other was not recognized, but in office. Sounds familiar. One was elected, but one was appointed. Okay. When was that? Yeah, let's not go there. We're going into the past. Okay. And I saw that the Pope we have now can be seen as the last Pope, because the next Pope who would be elected would most likely, well, I saw it was happening. He would be a very progressive Pope, as opposed to this extremely conservative Pope. And the progressive Pope would create enemies by being progressive, by opening up the church. He would create so many enemies that he would be ousted, removed from office, and somebody else appointed. And hence, an anti-pope would be in place. So the last a pope being the current pope that we have right now. And the next pope who is elected then being removed from office, because the powers around the papal office don't like the direction it's going. So what that's going to happen, how that's going to manifest in the Catholic Church will most likely split in two as well. Some will follow the original, who will no longer have papal authority, and many will refuse to follow the appointed one. And so there's very little. It doesn't serve, it won't serve to unify anything. It won't serve to bring people to the Catholic Church, but it will serve to split the church. Any questions about that part? All right. And we'll wait to see. You know, it's also true what Nostradamus saw back here is also affected by the timeline. So it's also true that papal appointments can be affected as well. So, but that anything can happen. But what I saw and what I just described, I did about 2.5 years ago, or 3 years. No, this was 5 years ago already. 2005, 6 years ago. Okay. Psychics are out of time sometimes. So 6 years ago is when I did the work on the Pope. And so things can still change. And we'll see. We'll see. I mean, the Pope right now, I predicted that he'd be kind of a at-home Pope. And he would be very conservative. And try to bring people into the Catholic Church by stressing the Catholic principles, and he's done that. So it's been pretty much on with what I was seeing. I don't necessarily see it changing in any. I see him being a pope probably for about 11 years, so we've got about another 5 years, I think, before his health might be a problem. But he started when he was, 80? So. Okay. 2012. Let's see. Hold on. You had a question first. What?
The Gulf Coast. The Gulf Coast.
All right. This is connected to the Gulf Coast. In the 1990s is when I did a reading on the Gulf Coast first. And I'll share that information first because it's already happening. At that time, I saw the deforestation of Brazil causing temperature fluctuations, a great deal more heat coming in that area and affecting the Atlantic Ocean. And in doing that, the hurricanes would go up the East Coast rather than come into the Gulf eventually. And that's basically what's happening right now. At the same time, when I moved back to Texas, I did a reading on the hurricanes coming into Texas over the next decade. And I saw hurricanes coming in, and including one in 2006. And I waited for it and waited for it and waited for it, and it never showed up. And so I went back and looked at that information, and what I saw was that when Katrina went through in 2005, there was so much prayer around the nation, so much prayer, that it brought in the Christ energy so strongly that it erased the entire 2006 hurricane season and half of 2007. The weathermen were predicting many hurricanes, and they were baffled. But that Christ energy that was brought in through the prayers of millions protected the entire Gulf region up until the middle of the 2007 season. And it just shows another example, in my opinion, of the power of prayer and meditation and how it can affect the world around us in very real ways. We see it here. I saw it again with the Christ Spirit protecting the Gulf at that time. Right now, there's not necessarily a big push to work on protecting the Gulf. So the Gulf is dealing with the oil spill that we had here several years ago, or a year and a half ago now. What was it, 2 years ago? There I go. Back in the past. And that's still a problem. That's going to be a problem for another about 9 years. So cleaning up of it, it's the problem effect. The effect, of course, is going to diminish over the time as Mother Nature kind of cleans up itself, cleans itself up through methods. But, fine, okay. But otherwise, the Gulf Coast, I see it more or less continuing along where we're at. Occasionally we'll get hurricanes in, but not as much anymore as we're going to see going up to the East Coast, because the balance has shifted, the science around it has shifted, and they're not necessarily planning to plant the Brazilian rainforest anymore, and so that fluctuation of temperatures is always going to be impacting the Atlantic from now on. And so we'll have a couple of decades where we see hurricanes up the East Coast, up the East Coast, up the East Coast. We're going to see that. Any other questions real quick? Okay. All right, 2012. Okay, I'm going to... I'm still going to wait on that, because when the earthquake off the coast of Indonesia hit, that was also in 2005, December 24th, 2005, I did a reading on that, and I saw that was, and I'm using this metaphor, that was the preface to a book. And I'm using the word preface here, or prologue to a book. In a book, there's always going to be a preface or a prologue or an introduction that's actually not the book, but it's introducing the book. It's kind of a step up, and then the next step up is the book. Well, the Indonesian event was the prologue, and the prologue was an introduction to three events that were going to happen in the following years, the years to come. The first one was the Japanese event that happened here with not just an earthquake, but their nuclear power plant. The combination of both of those was the first event. That was chapter one. There are going to be two more chapters to this book. At that time, I looked also at see how much of that can we change, how much of that can we change to heal, how much, by the effort that we put into it, how much will be dissolved, how much will not happen. And at that time, the information I saw was that 80% of this energy that would cause this kind of a disaster, this size of disaster, 80% of it was set in rock. Not because it's destined to be set in rock, but because we've more or less run out of time. And so, even if the 7 billion people on the planet prayed, these two events would still manifest through some manner or way. But 20% of it we still can deal with. We can still dissolve and heal with the people that are here working. So there's still a little bit of fluctuation in time as to when these events are going to go, when they're going to happen. But I still see two more events to that magnitude. And I think that well, there's still a lot of information yet to gather on it. And we're running out of time here. 2012, I see a lot of communications problems, electronics problems, anything related to electromagnetism, I see problems. They'll be solvable, but they're just going to be happening right and left, especially around communication issues. I think the birds species, because they are part, they use electromagnetism in their life, in their ways of living, they're going to be affected by it. I think they're going to have some difficulty and they're going to some loss of the species of it. Exactly. Electromagnetic, we won't necessarily assign it to being related to 2012, but it's going to be happening. Communication problems, satellite problems, electrical problems, that's what I see. And I focus more or less on the kind of physical manifestations of this. But I think it's going to be happening in the brains as well. As a kind of a, because of it's electromagnetic, our brains are going to kind of experience befuddlement as well. And I see this starting here, not more or less the end of October, the beginning of November, on until February 2013. So if you're going through 2012 and you feel like you just can't think straight, and it's just happening, and you're wondering if your brain, you're getting Alzheimer's or anything like that, remember, it could also be that the electromagnetism inside the brain is being affected as well. Just take it slow. Do the best you can. Prediction I'm going to offer today is that I see the economy rather going along kind of as it is right now for another 2 decades, and then it'll take a nosedive. We've got 7 billion people on the planet right now with problems. We're going to have 8 billion people, you know, around the corner. Some of us are going to be still alive when that happens. Our children are going to be alive. Grandchildren are going to be alive. And I see it being on the level of, and possibly even worse than, the Depression of the 30s. And I see it happening in the 2030s. So, I've looked for positive things around that time, I just don't see them. I see it coming during that time. So, I know I personally won't be here, but I feel like I'll be helping in some manner or form. This is going to really just be hard for those that are here. Hard to the point where the government will even find a way to manufacture food out of plants that are inedible. Looking for ways to find food to feed 8 billion people. And so they may actually come up with ways to take all the leaves off trees and make a food out of them for people to eat.
Just take the land that takes to feed cattle.
Take the land that takes to feed cattle to turn it into, yeah. But I see some kind of plant derivative that's usually non-edible to humans, changed into like a gruel or an oatmeal where you can mass produce it.
Soylent.
Yeah. Soylent Green, pretty much, part, although they're not going to be using human. But yeah, I've got other stuff to do. Out of the body. I don't need to be here. I'll be here back, you know, in 2051. I'll be back in 2051. So if you're around, Bill. The fifth root race is a transformation. In this raising of the vibration, those vibrations are having an effect on the DNA of the body as well. And so it's activating different aspects of the DNA, and it's acclimating to the higher vibrational level. A lot of times, there are bodies that vibrate at a lower rate that cannot handle this higher vibration. And so the bodies start breaking down because of the vibration rise, and they die. And what the root race is doing is bringing in, adjusting and acclimating to these higher vibrations, and building bodies that can live at that level. And so that's the next root race, higher vibrating bodies. And these bodies then have the capacity for raising the vibration even more. So. I think that's more symbolic. A long time is what it is. Yeah. And allowing for a lot of people to come back into the higher level bodies. Do what? Oh, okay. Good. Any other questions? Okay. I'll be around for a while, so if you have a question, I'll know. You're welcome. Okay. Yeah, I'll be around for a while. Yeah. Did you have another question?
Sorry, I missed you.
Yeah. Don't worry, I taped it. I hope it comes out.
Good. It was just, do we have the ability to raise our vibration in this body?
We are doing it already. We are doing it. Yeah. Yeah, but we're starting necessarily at a little bit lower level. Others are going to be starting right here. Others are going to start right there. And so, with each generation, we can start on their shoulders.
Right.
We're starting higher on the shoulders of those that preceded us.
Well, if we raise our vibration to a certain level, will we lift? Like, we had that little thing going to the different lines of reality, and we have to lift some of the stuff that's happening?
Yeah. It all depends on... Well, it obviously, it's an individual basis, but as we process and clear ourselves as a channel, as we work out all the conflicts and issues and stuff like that, we open up that channel, and we're able to ride that wave a little bit more. The stuff that we don't work out will still be stuck, and so it could affect our bodies as well. So, and you know, we're not meant to. We don't necessarily need to work out everything that we have in one body. I mean, we have eternity to do all this. So, we have plenty of time. Yeah. Yeah. And that's plenty. Yeah. And it's not going to be a problem. Well, I wasn't necessarily seeing it as a famine, but rather that one of the reasons why I work at gardening and promote gardening and independent living and stuff like that, because of what I see in the 2030s, for those people who are going to be around, the governments creating some kind of synthetic food out of plant material that's usually non-edible. They'll take it and chemically process it and turn it into kind of a, like the woman said, Soylent Green. And have you ever seen that movie? Charlton Heston, Soylent Green? It came out in the 60s, I think it was. And basically, he discovers that this mass-produced food that everybody eats is made out of humans. But it's not going to be humans in the 2030s. It's just going to be plant derivatives, like leaves and grass and stuff like that. You know, we can't digest that right now, but chemistry, the miracle of chemistry, can take non-food and turn it into... You know, add chemical vitamins to it, turn it into a process or a product that people because there will be such a desperate need for food, they'll eat it. People will eat it.
You see an end of this drought?
Yeah, 2 years.
Oh, 2 years?
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Can I ask you
2 years, but it won't be as severe as it has been this summer. It's going to be less severe, but it'll last for 2 years. So I'm right now, I would encourage anybody to, you know, save rainwater, you know, because it's going to be needed. It'll get replenished a little bit more often than it was this summer, but it will still last for another 2 years, which means that the water let table is where it's going to suffer most, because it's not getting replenished. For you, you might check to see how deep your well is, and how deep the well is, and how deep the pipe is. Because your well may be deep enough, your pipe may not be, and your pump may be at a level where it can eventually be taken lower, and you can have water.
So.
Well, you may just need to add another pipe to the length of pipe. And that'll put the well pump deeper into the ground. Because most of the time, wells are drilled deep, but the pipes are not deep. The pipe may be anywhere from 50% depth to 75% depth. Yeah. So check your records, or your pump company will have the records, stuff like that. So that'd be where to check first. Now they may not necessarily. Okay. Well, the question is, the well water company is always going to try to figure out what's happening as well, because they've got customers who want to know what's happening with the well, where's the water table, all this stuff. So they're constantly working on trying to understand this as well, trying to guess or take readings on it or whatever they can to have information too. But they're kind of in the same boat as we are. It might help to have an astrologer or a psychic on staff. So,
or
dowsers or something like that. And a lot of pump companies do.
That's how my dad found water wells.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, there are a number of dowsers around, and they're used by companies a lot of times.
Your dad could douse for water
wells? Yeah. Our family business is water wells.
Yeah, you better be a good dowser.
At the three dry wells, that's the RA story calling.
Right.
Yeah, well, they're going
out of business. But. Right. Yeah, LCRA is not going to sell to farmers and rice farmers anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Where they're going to get their water?
I don't know. I don't think they know either. I've got a brother-in-law who's a rice farmer down in Matagorda County. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't think he does it.
Yeah.
Who's a golf? I think Marlene's a golfer, aren't you?
No,
I thought you. Who?
What?
Somebody I knew was a golfer. Was it Shirley?
I've got it.
No?
Well, I'm going to go back there. I'm coming here for the business meeting at 5.
Pamela, that's who it was. Yes, Pamela. That's right. Okay. Oh, yes.
Room 30.
Let's see. Bob might be there, too. Let's see. I've got some stuff to do here. Bob's probably running around with the golf cart, so
okay.
Help yourself.
I won't be long.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
If you see Bob, tell him that I gave you my card.
Okay. Where can I get this back to you?
I'll tell you what. Why don't you carry around in this just so it won't get scratched up. Let's see. What time is it? I think I'm going to go over to Dave Tupman's thing. He's got a workshop at 3:30 next door over here.
Okay.
Otherwise, just hang on to it.
All right.